Blog Talk Radio.
God save us.
Parking tickets have expired.
And who wrote us? And who made them expired? None other than Seth Rollins.
What if that was the problem to anything? Just, I'm really sick right now. Fuck you, Seth Rollins. But
that
anyway,
the thing.
Yeah,
something
I feel like
wrong.
That's...
We had technical difficulties. Fuck you, Seth.
I feel like that's actually becoming the thing from what I've seen on the internet. I feel like that's becoming, it's going to be a thing. Also, by the way.
Is wanted for treason, treachery, and overall
yes.
Badassness.
Yes. Also, by the way, everyone, hello, I'm Batista waving right now. I am Matt Marrero, and I'm sitting here with Batista Ram.
We've got two things from last night, which
yes.
We didn't get to cover due to a multitude of reasons. One of
yes.
them being, you know, Seth Rollins broke our heart. Another,
yes.
I was at the airport to take a friend home, so that's more on my fault. But we had two things we took from last night, a Batista wave, and Seth Rollins is at fault for everything bad in the world.
Possibly also the Batista leaving. Well, actually, no. The fact that Batista came to the company was because of Seth Rollins. He convinced him. He was on the phone with him all night saying, no, dude, you got to come back. They'll love you.
Right, because heel Batista was amazing. It was face mm-hmm. Batista that was the problem, as we know.
Yep. And who convinced him to become, you know, to come back as face Batista? Seth Rollins.
Right, because he's just that
pretty
good at what he does.
Pretty obvious. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. I mean, you know, the thing. I think the thing is, if you notice, you know, Seth Rollins being the architect and everything, you know, he's been planning this since day one. I mean, even when he was at Ring of Honor, he was scoping out, Violent Dean Ambrose, or what was he known at the time as? What was it, Moxley?
John Moxley,
thank you. John Moxley, and he was also, whenever he got the chance to, you know, he was in Hawaii just checking out, you know, the entire family of Samoans
way,
and everything.
If you want to treat yourself to a match on my accord, look up some Tyler Black, John Moxley stuff.
Most definitely.
Really good work, honestly.
Most definitely. And, you know, so that's the thing. He's been playing this since day one. I mean, there is nothing in my eyes that, you know, doesn't make me think that, you know, he injured Daniel Bryan. I mean, it's just, there's just a bunch of, you know, there's even some documented fictional reports that he's been the one to injure Daniel Bryan and put him into the match with Kane.
Right. Hey, but if
yeah.
he can't... But, I mean, we're all over the place right now, so let's hone in on
yes.
the serious
let's
point
actually,
of the matter.
Let's actually talk about
Seth
the main
Rollins.
Event of Raw. Right.
Yeah, Seth Rollins, in a very brilliantly executed segment, turned on his brethren.
Yes.
Ow.
Which is just, what
that
I think is
great.
That got
me right in the heart.
Most definitely. I mean, what I think is great, too, is just the fact that it was nice, it was short, and it was sweet. There wasn't anything fancy about it. There was no words to it. I think, you know, it's even great is that right before it, Seth was talking about, you know, being with the Shield and Evolution losing, which now makes you think, there's just so many ways it can go. Maybe he thinks that Evolution did lose, and, Evolution gaining him will cause them to actually, you know, be good again. You know, that's the thing. There's so many little things here and there that I think it's really great to see, you know, where this is going to take us.
Definitely. The end result is that I literally cannot wait for Raw next week. Because,
which is really, yeah.
If for so many things, Seth's explanation and Dean's reply, because I assume Dean and Roman are going to have one hell of a, like, you betrayed us promo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Considering Ambrose's, like, history of promos,
Yeah.
This has the potential to be, like, one of the best angles in WWE history.
Yes. Also, if they're smart, they will have a You Betrayed Us promo on SmackDown. Not a response to it, but at the very least, you know, something. They'll have something on SmackDown.
Well, Bray's already going to be on SmackDown. So they have, I think they may be subtly trying to make SmackDown worth something again.
Yes, yes. I've noticed that as well.
Bray is returning on SmackDown, according to what we heard.
Yes. Which we'll talk about why I don't really enjoy that much later. But but as of right now, yes, and it's funny because we just complained for about a good 2 hours about Payback on Sunday, right?
Yeah,
which,
I'm not going to back down from that. I'm sorry. I don't know if you want to soften up on it.
I would like to clarify, though, what we
sure.
do, because the thing is, because I feel as if we were in a really bad place on Sunday, and maybe we didn't get the point across well enough that the wrestling across the board was pretty damn good for some, even, I mean, just, you know, the top, right? It's the booking and the stories. Mostly the stories that really, you know, made us detach and kind of step back and think, this is what happens when they're set from, you know, for the week, because apparently everything was locked in around, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday before Payback. So it made us think maybe they should be a little bit more unpredictable and make matches on the fly if this is what they've decided on, you know, on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that the general public really liked Payback, and I'm sorry, but this is just one where we disagree. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to be that guy that says you're stupid for disagreeing with me. I'm just saying that in terms of opinion, I really didn't like Payback. And I can give you a lot of reasons why. So it's just a matter of opinion there. But
personally, though, I would like to say, and you have to agree on this, if we were just focusing on wrestling, on the wrestling quality, nothing else, it was good. But that's not all that wrestling is, though. Yeah,
right,
so that's where it becomes
like, the
an
thing
issue.
Is for me, like, the Last Man Standing match,
right.
as well as it was executed, like, the match was good.
Yes.
A, Cena won, and B, didn't sell anything after. So that ruins it for me, and I know it doesn't ruin it for everybody, and I'm glad. I'm glad that you're in a place where it doesn't. But for me, when John doesn't sell, when the Uso brother is selling a match more than John, who was in the actual match.
Exactly, I agree. Yeah,
there
that's
a
where
problem. And then when he follows it up tonight, I'm sorry, last night rather, on Raw, with, again, basically not showing any repercussions from that match, how am I supposed to feel? You know, it makes me feel
agree.
Like I was right about being annoyed about that stuff.
No, I agree.
You're right.
Yep.
The wrestling on the card was worthwhile, and I didn't feel bothered by that.
No.
It's just,
and, you know, and of course, you know, that pretty much a five-star match between, you know, Shield and Evolution, it definitely, it was such a great swerve into where now we, you know, we had Evolution lose, you know, a clean sweep even, where you thought, all right, this is done, their rivalry is done, but now they've done something that I really think they need to do for the rest of the card, where they've changed it up in a way where now I can see Evolution versus Shield, if there still is a Shield, for, you know, another 3 months. Because of how they're, you know, because of what they're doing and how they're doing it, and the way they can, you know, not really add members to the Shield, but give some, you know, give someone maybe a chance to form an alliance.
You know, let's talk about that since we're on the topic of this early, right?
Yes, right.
How do you feel about them adding another member to the Shield? Should they
do it,
or should they let the Shield die?
I don't think they should. Here's the thing. I don't think the Shield needs to die. I think that as of right now, you can have two Shield members and someone who is forming an alliance with them, but not necessarily coming out in the in the Shield outfits and saying, I'm a member of the Shield. No, the Shield should just, you know, it can be two members for now. Maybe if Dean gets a little, or someone, maybe even Roman, just kind of gets a little uneasy where it's just, all right, we're tag teaming for right now, but after this is all over, we should probably kind of go our separate ways. Because what I think will be great is, if in the future, right, we can have little things where it's just, I mean, let's say, you know, Roman Reigns is just, let's say he's the WWE champion, right, with the way that they're grooming him to be. And someone else is trying to, you know, beat him up to, just to kind of ease him over for, you know, for the pay-per-view or something. And then Dean Ambrose comes out and doesn't even try to do it to say, you know, just like little things here and there where it's just to say, hey, I'm helping you because one day I want to fight you for that title. And I kind of know you, and I don't want this to kill you. You know, little things like that where there's a sense of camaraderie, but not it's not the Shield forever. You know.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
There are certain people that if they decided to add them to the Shield,
yes,
I wouldn't be that angry. Top of that list is Sami Zayn. Because
really?
I think he fits the style in the ring that Rollins had to do.
He fits the style, but in no way does his personality mesh with the other two. And I know we'd have to give it a try, but the problem, I think, is that a lot of times they say the words give it a try and then do something that's a bit too much. Okay, like let's say if they say, oh, let's give Eva Marie a try on something. Usually it's on Superstars. You know, it's not going to – but when you say, hey, let's give this a try, right? I mean, unless they really try their hardest to just do it at house shows at first, it's immediately going to be on television. Because right now, you know, that's where they are. That's where the storyline is. And I just don't really feel like Sami Zayn meshes well with them.
I think he does. I mean, for one, they have Moxley and Zayn have experience working with each other. Not together, but in matches and stuff.
Right.
But
rather,
I guess what I was trying to say is there are two guys I wouldn't, like, there are a few guys I wouldn't be angry with. I agree with you on the premise, but I actually think they should let the Shield, in a way, die. Not in a way that, like, Reigns and Ambrose have to split right now, because, obviously, Reigns and Ambrose have to stick together right now to prove a point.
Yes, yes,
but,
yes.
Yeah, this is the start of them having their singles careers.
And I would love
it
that.
Could be very simple as, you know, Rollins' motivation just being, this is a company where the top title is a singles title. And no matter how much I work with you guys, I can't win a singles title like that if I'm in this group.
Yes, and that would be great because I think that really works. And I think that there's a lot of ways – you know, you can have Seth Rollins explain himself that, well, he's obviously a heel because he's betrayed his friends, doesn't need to make him as we've joked around about this dastardly villain, you know,
if anything, though, honestly, not dastardly, but Seth is more always the cunning one.
Yes.
He's the cunning villain. You know, he's the intelligent one that will outsmart you. And that being said, I mean, he can athletically outfight most people. What it gets me really excited about that I haven't been able to mention is that if Daniel Bryan is now healthy and then he ends up wrestling against Kane for, you know, his title and he wins.
Yes.
Down the line, in the very near future, we can have Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins.
Yes, I think that they're...
As a main event of a pay-per-view.
What I hope is two things. First off, I hope we don't see Daniel Bryan get his moveset reduced too much, and I hope that because Seth is a heel, they don't assume that he shouldn't be doing some of these kind of high flyer type moves. Because as you've noticed, when you know they believe that that's more of a face thing to do.
Yeah,
so I hope that they don't.
Seth is a guy who works now a prototypical face moveset for them.
Right.
And it
yes.
works well for him.
Yeah, so I hope that
I would
they don't...
to see them take it away. Right, so, yeah, arguably, based on some things, Bryan versus Rollins may not be the match that we hoped it would be for those kind of things.
Right.
But I still think it would be worthwhile.
Most definitely. I think that just the two names clashing together, and also, they're doing what we've wanted them to do for a while now, which is to make, you know, a heel. Because sadly, they think they have enough heels, but they really don't. You know, they think that if a face leaves, for some reason, that means we need to make more faces. And it's just,
and it's
no, guys.
And it's interesting, by the way, because of the fact that when you think about this Rollins thing, right, Rollins not joining, what does that do for Randy Orton? Because although in the immediate future they're going to do this Evolution thing,
yes,
is Randy Orton going to fall out of favor with Triple H? Because Randy Orton was Triple H's guy, remember, for the championship and all that stuff. Is Rollins now his guy? You know, is Rollins now going to be the new face of the WWE kind of thing? Like,
well, that's
I don't
the thing. Yeah, it
think
might
go that
yeah.
far, but I do think
they might go in the sense that, you know, as we talked about, you know, we always have the newer member, the veteran, and then the mentor. And hopefully, even though it's still, you know, because it's 3-on-2 now, technically 3-on-2 now, Triple H steps back and he becomes the Ric Flair mentor. And then we can have the new guy and the, you know, and the veteran go at it with the two, the, you know, the two other new guys. And hopefully that can, you know, because even though I will admit, yes, it's 3-on-2, Triple H can still step back and take more of a, you know.
He probably should, to be fair, because
yes,
he's worked really good matches and high quality.
Yes.
But he's getting up there in age, and I don't want to see Trips die.
Well, it's one of those things where I think he should be used a bit like Undertaker, where, you know, as he has been kind of, you know, recently, where he'll come out.
Yeah, he has recently. He's put his body on the line more recently for this angle, and kudos to him for that, for only putting over Daniel Bryan, but the Shield.
Yes.
You know, getting him
most,
in there direct,
because
he's doing
most,
a great job with that shit.
He really is. And, you know, so I hope that, I really do hope that, you know, he can step back and still be this heel. I mean, if you think about it, all he really has to do is, he doesn't have to be on screen, even though I'm sure he wants to be. He doesn't even have to be on screen. All you need is the commentators to say, yep, he made this match tonight. Yep, he made this match. Yep, he did this. And then, you know, and of course it would be something that would put both Ambrose and Reigns, you know, in some tight spots.
Right.
You know, but also we have ourselves a caller. I would like to patch him or her through. Let us see here. Caller. Shazam.
I am Captain Marvel.
Yeah, clearly Daniel is Captain Marvel. So I assume you saw Monday Night Raw. I assume you know what happened. I assume you're sad.
I know. I'm like, what the? I'm like, my eyes was like, no! I'm like, you. I didn't think it was good. Because I didn't think it was going to be best. Yes, Mom?
No, believe me, I understand, Daniel. You know, the fact that Kane fought John Cena was just a huge issue, you know? I mean, the fact that, believe me, I had the same feeling. Just, what? Oh, this is just the match of the century.
Yeah. No, I also, like, oh, and also Dolph Ziggler losing to Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, that actually
was
that
a
was
really
normal.
Stupid move on two parts, but yeah.
Well, that's actually normal. That just sounds, you know, right. But either way, no, I understand. Like, it was just, the main event was just, it was main event worthy. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I have a lot of complaints about this company here and there, but they did, you know, again, they always really focus on the main event, and you can tell that when they do focus on it, it's usually very good, you know, in some,
yeah.
You know, even if it's something like John Cena level where we don't like, at least there's little booking things here and there. I mean, John Cena has been building up Bray Wyatt through words, only through words. But then again, his words mean everything. So kids should be like, wow, Bray is strong, because John Cena said so.
Yes.
But anyway.
Yes,
so you were freaking out over Seth Rollins turning.
Yes, I was. And I'm like, because I heard in the background, when I looked up, because this morning I woke up, looked to YouTube, looked it up, and I hear in the background someone, when he's winding up the chair, you hear someone scream, no!
Yes! Yes, there was a lot of the fans were very into it, some a bit more annoying than others, because that was great. I don't know if you heard the guy screaming, oh, you didn't know?
I did not hear that.
It's funny, but it's kind of annoying because he did the entire thing, and he was actually at ringside, so literally he was in camera shot.
I heard the Brock Lesnar guy scream, why?
Why?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Why?
There was two guys screaming, why? And it was just, I don't know, it was funny, but it becomes a thing where it's, guys, let the angle do it, because the angle was great. And then you just hear someone scream, mind you, very close to the camera. You should, you know, watch it again. It's as Seth is coming down the ramp with Triple H and Randy Orton. And you hear, oh, you didn't know? Well, your ass better call somebody.
Wow.
And it's like, damn, guys.
You couldn't just let it be. Just let it be.
Yes, exactly. You couldn't just let it be. But yeah, I mean, obviously, that was something that we've all... So what do you think's going to happen with them? Like, do you think they're going to add a new member? Or, like, how do you feel about, you know, the aftermath of this?
Well, the thing is, the Shield shouldn't add a new member. Because, well... it just wouldn't feel Shield-like, and pretty much you need someone to fill Rollins. No one can really fill Rollins' shoes at this point. I don't see anyone on the roster that can fill Rollins' shoes.
Well, actually, it's kind of funny because when Satish brought up Sami Zayn, that would have to be bumping up someone, you know, from NXT. So, Satish, do you see anyone on the roster who could actually, like, who's actually currently on the roster, who could fill in for Seth Rollins?
Not in storyline.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there are some people who can handle his physical work, but in story, the reason I went to NXT is because, see, with NXT, as you've seen, I mean, they can go from Johnny Curtis to Fandango in a heartbeat.
Right.
You know, so if they want to adjust somebody's character, they can do it. So that's why I don't mind Zayn in my head, because I know physically he can do what Rollins did, and they can tweak him as a person to match Rollins' character.
Right.
Yeah. I feel bad for Sami Zayn. He loses a lot.
On purpose. He'll be fine when he gets called up. I mean,
yeah.
The man is a superstar on the meeting, in the waiting / making, but... Yeah, outside of that, I mean, the people on the roster, I don't really think it's going to happen with.
Kofi Kingston. You know, just let's just throw out names. Kofi Kingston, because he jumps high. Bo Dallas.
Cody Rhodes.
Bo Leave in the Shield.
Bo Leave in the Shield.
I'm not going to lie.
People are believing in Bo now because he's actually getting some heat.
I'm not going to lie, if Cody Rhodes thinks that Bo Dallas should team up with Goldust, I would be so happy.
Yeah.
Just imagine him constantly trying to shake Goldust's hand and Goldust
so
just looking confused. Just so Goldust just looks confused at him, like just, oh.
Yeah, Goldust being confused.
Yeah, exactly. Bo Dallas makes Goldust cringe. I want that to kind of sit. But no, there are, yeah, it was, honestly, I think Cody would have been a perfect fit for Evolution, but now that they, they put Seth Rollins in there, which, hey, honestly, it's going to build up Seth Rollins. I think this was a really, it was a good choice because I think, I brought this up, via text to Satish, but I didn't really say this, on the podcast, obviously. I think that they're grooming Reigns to be the top guy who will probably, once he's out of this feud, will probably be a WWE title contender. Dean Ambrose, even though he's not built as that guy, he still has this charisma and everything to kind of, if there was a world heavyweight title, he would be the one getting it, right?
Yeah.
You have Seth Rollins, and while I agree with, Satish in saying that he could be like the next Shawn Michaels, still, like, people have, said, oh, yeah, other than the spots that he's been having, they've been trying to build him as, like, forgettable in a weird way.
Seth is the next Shawn / Jeff Hardy without drugs and Christianity.
That's the thing. With this push, he can really get something, where maybe beforehand people would have just said, oh, he's the guy who does the cool flips, and that's all he would have been.
Yeah.
Which
is a sad
thing, because he shouldn't be that guy. Correct.
So they took the most the least popular guy and made him a member of Evolution.
Because he kind of made himself a star in terms of popularity. I mean,
yes,
he wasn't supposed to be that guy, and he became that guy because he's just so damn good.
Yes.
True.
So, and I won't say least popular. I'll say least noticed, because it's a thing where each guy had something, but I think Seth's thing is it's fun. His flips and everything. But you'll have Ambrose. And, I mean, Ambrose will just have these beautiful moments where just after a promo and everyone else is still cutting a promo, he'll just be pacing around behind them.
And he's
so,
all,
like, he has this... Yeah, he just has that little thing that's off.
Yeah, because he's often all weird and like...
Yeah, exactly. And then Roman Reigns is just, hey, I'm Roman Reigns. And it's like, all right, so, every woman just, drop their panties. And so, and then he's also the big guy. So he's meant to be, the big guy who's still athletic.
Yeah.
And then you had Seth Rollins, who could have went through the cracks. And I remember earlier in the year, you were worried about that, Satish. But now...
Yeah, because I was definitely saying, I think Seth is becoming quickly one of my favorite people on the roster.
Yeah. And here we are. So, thankfully, this, even though our hearts are broken, it was still done in a very, it was done in a great way. And, I think the best thing in the world is the fact that they capped it with such a great momentous, it was just such a great match. It was a moment that will be etched in history forever. and then this heel turn, where it ended on a good note in a weird way. You know, they didn't have to do this, and that's what's great. They didn't have to. And I think that's the way you want to end anything in the world, where you sit down and you're watching a TV show and you're thinking, they didn't have to end it now, but that's the best way to think it, where it's just instead of...
And they were supposed to end it with the Shield and the Wyatts, so...
Well, they were supposed to end it. I mean, there were a lot of different ways they could have ended this. I mean, if you remember a couple months back, they even had they had the Seth Rollins jumping off of the, you know, the apron. And they were like, oh, you know, what's Seth doing? And then they thought, wait, no, actually, it would probably be better to market them as faces. And then they switched them over to faces, and then everyone forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you were going to say, Satish?
No, for me, it's like one of those, either you die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain, one of those things. But
yes.
Not directly in the sense that Seth is a heel, but rather in the sense that, like, logically, the Shield are extremely over right now, and you could have ran with them for another month or two as baby faces and you would have been fine. But they took the gamble now, before the Shield's heat petered out a little bit. And to be honest, I don't think it would have. But
no. But
they
no,
wanted
but thing
to take
is,
this gamble.
Here's the thing.
Before.
It probably wouldn't. The thing is, when you said they could have gone it for another month or two, the problem with the WWE is they don't think, oh, another month or two. They think, they don't think month or two. They think year or two. So they think, oh, these guys are making us money. How can we keep them going for as long as we can until the cow runs dry? But by the time the cow is dry, no one wants to see it become a heel because it's a dry cow.
Right.
Dry cow would cut a terrible
cows,
promo.
Yeah, cows make really weird heels.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard that rumor about Reigns at WrestleMania?
Further detail is needed because there are many rumors about Reigns at WrestleMania.
I was watching. I was looking at WrestleZone.
Okay.
And apparently, what they said, like one of the plans, like one of the The Rock wants to work with his cousin. Apparently.
Huh. I did not hear that, and I want to take it with a grain of salt because usually I hear a really not exactly credible rumors because they're all rumors, but I haven't heard that. I hope that doesn't happen because that sounds really bad.
Yes,
if only because I'm not saying the match wouldn't be good. I'm just saying that it's another year of The Rock putting someone else down because we can easily have Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns or... Even if it's Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins picking up their rivalry again, or Roman Reigns versus, I mean, anyone else other than him coming back, that would be terrible. I'm really hoping it doesn't happen.
Because The Rock would have to win the championship, apparently.
No, actually, he could put over his cousin because he likes his cousin. The point is, though, is that that's a spot that he doesn't need.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you agree with this, Satish.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to make a joke about, well, why don't we just throw the Usos in there, too, because they're family. But, no, it's not something I foresee happening. Also, they would not work a good match together, in my opinion. I know that seems kind of mean, but
those
I just do not
strong
think.
Guys.
Yeah, they would not work a very good match together, especially at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's a huge problem where you want to build a guy, and then your other guy is The Rock. And then it's a really bad WrestleMania main event. You know, that's a big issue. Where now it's just and then The Rock leaves, and then what does WWE think? The problem was Reigns. That was the problem. We need to de-push Reigns.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really hoping that again. I'm pretty sure it won't happen. I'm pretty sure it's just a rumor because The Rock probably said, "Oh, I'd like to work with my cousin one day," and then people start piecing things together. You mean at WrestleMania, Rock? Is that where you'd want to work with him? Maybe, I don't know. And then all of a sudden it's a rumor, where it's just, yep, The Rock wants to work with his cousin at WrestleMania. He probably never said that. But anyway, I would like to thank you for calling in, Danny. We're going to be moving on from the main event, but of course very happy to, you know, hear what you have to say. And if anyone else wants to call in, you know, definitely call in. The number is 718-664-9468. Later, Danny. And the number is 718-664-9468. Definitely call in. We'd love to hear you talk about the night, anything about the night, even if it's about the main event again. If it's a different take, I mean, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, we've talked a lot about Seth.
Yes.
and giving them a lot of love and feeling. So there were some other good points on the card, namely, if we're going to start in order, the opening segment. I don't know if you want to go that way from now.
Oh, no, of course, yes. I would love to go that way. The opening segment, there were some good things, but there was also one thing I didn't enjoy. And I don't like Triple H's acting. And it's weird because I love it when he's acting as a heel. But if he's not being a heel and if he's sitting there thinking, no, guys, we have to be together, it wasn't convincing for me.
Yeah, Triple H, you mentioned to me earlier, I think, in text, where you said Triple H needs to be a heel. You're right. He does.
Yeah, because, and it's a bit weird because I'm wondering if maybe, which is really creepy when you think about it, he can resonate with putting people down. You know, that is what he can resonate with and what he's perfect at. But him trying to actually, as a human being, apparently that's what he's really good at. But when he's trying to rally the troops together, I didn't really see him doing any, you know, like if I was in Batista's shoes, I wouldn't have stayed. You know, and that doesn't make Batista look bad at all. That makes him look good, actually.
Which is funny. But the segment turned out, oddly enough, the person who made the segment for me, and this is weird, was Batista.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, just his wave.
Right.
The wave is what got me, and the reason why the wave got me so much is because it's just how much of a ham can you be? Where I sat there and thought, you know, after the wave I thought, is he going to freaking moonwalk out of the ring? You know, what is he going to do now? Is he going to freaking, like, just do, like, you know, just do the, was it the Irish, you know,
the
folk dancing, just, the what was it? The river dance, thank you. Yes. The river dance, just river dance out of the ring backwards, you know, just looking at the crowd both left and right,
kick. No, but it was great because that little wave was just hilarious. And it fit and finished off a relatively excellent line of heel work from Batista for his comeback. And, you know, now I can only wish him the best for Guardians of the Galaxy and all that crap because he did excellent heel work. I think WWE at some point realized we can make him a heel and still promote him for his movie.
Though it's really funny how Triple H decided to promote him for his movie. Yeah, I hope your movie flops. I don't think Marvel will want to work with you anymore.
It worked out for the company, though.
It did. Most definitely, you know. And then after that segment, which was a good segment, we have the tag team match between Sheamus and RVD versus Cesaro and Wade Barrett, which is very interesting because, you know, with this match, you also had a tie into main event, and we'll get into that in a second, but it was just very interesting to have, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, what's going to happen on SmackDown now because, you know, on main event, we had Wade Barrett and RVD again, which is very interesting. So, but with this tag match, I like the tag match a lot because it felt refreshing. And I say refreshing because I feel as if it's been a while since we've had that, you two are in a feud, tag together. I feel like it's been a while. And, you know, and it's funny because
we used to
there was
that too much in the Teddy
Too
era.
Much, yeah. Oh,
where
and I would have been pissed.
Everybody would tag together who was in two separate feuds.
Yes, just to put all four of them on the card, and it felt very just. Oh, I was terrible.
Cheap.
Remember, was it? Here's a six-man tag, player. Remember, just six-man tags. Just
or regular tags, just like you know what's going to happen now, player. It's like, yeah, we do, Teddy.
I
love Teddy Long. And I mean, make fun of Teddy Long as if it was his decision. Just funny.
Right, yeah.
Like, he was the one who sat there and decided, yeah, I'm going to make everything a tag match. That'll solve the world.
Exactly. He was in charge of creative. There's no actual creative. It was just Teddy Long for SmackDown. Just always. I understand. So it just felt, it did feel refreshing, which is nice. And, of course, you know, I love Paul Heyman, as do you.
Right.
As does everyone. And I really love Paul Heyman because, I mean, he was on the microphone, and of course he does a great job. You know, he makes a lot of sense, and he has a great chemistry with JBL. But the thing that got me, the one thing that made me think, wow, Paul, thank you. Why are you a heel when you're saying things like this? He was right when he said Sheamus should not have won with that small package. And it's funny because you're going to have people, and it's just really weird, because kids are going to sit there and go, no, he's wrong because he's the bad one. It's like, no, child, actually, Paul Heyman has a point. You come out and you say, I want to fight, right? I want to fight. I want to fight. I'm going to kick your arse. I want to fight. Right? And then you win with a small package.
No, it's funny because you're just being a heel now.
I don't mean to be. That's the thing. I don't, and you discussed this during the Payback, you know, podcast. When a heel does that, he would be the dirtiest player in the game. You know,
Sheamus
he would be this
face.
That
was
yeah.
a really slick win for him, and I'm very impressed by his versatility in the ring.
Exactly, says Michael Cole. But then all of a sudden, when Ric Flair does it. I don't know why I'm really being dated here. I'm sorry. When Ric Flair does it.
Why did we go back to Ric Flair?
I don't know why.
Does Flair even do those?
Because I said dirtiest player in the game. So for some reason I had to think of Flair. No, when like Wade Barrett would do it, right? We're getting into this
Wade
century.
Wade Barrett to you?
I don't even know. When Wade Barrett does it. When Wade Barrett does it, all of a sudden it's just, I can't believe that Wade Barrett stole that pin. And then JBL, come on, Michael, and then he said, JBL says exactly what you just said.
No, I mean, Sheamus earned his win.
I hate you. Yeah, I was waiting for you to laugh. I was like, I'm
no,
staring.
No, it is funny. See, it's from other faces. I wouldn't be bothered. From Sheamus, it's only stupid because his premise is a face as I like to fight. So, it's
exactly.
weird to not see him win by bro kick.
Exactly.
Especially when he has, like, the most signature moves of anybody on the fucking roster.
Actually, a small package is now his signature move.
Great.
Yep, he just has more. Also,
but Sheamus,
I, you know,
why did you name the move after your penis? Da-da-da.
Yeah, pretty much. I would really like a match between Cesaro and Barrett. I don't know who would be a face and who would be a heel, but I really want a match between Cesaro and Barrett, especially because of the fact that, you know, I mean...
Technically, they're both heels.
Yeah, they are, but it's still, I don't know who would be the face and the heel in that, in that feud, but I would love it. And honestly, I have to say that, you know, we jumped the main event for a second because there was a match on main event, RVD versus, versus Barrett. I thought that match was filler until the end. And it was filler, I say, because what? Is RVD going to win the Intercontinental title on main event?
Main event.
Is this really what we're going here, going for here? And then all of a sudden, Cesaro just comes in to Sirens and then immediately just does the neutralizer to both Wade Barrett and RVD. Which makes me think this is great because this could either be a really cool triple threat for Money in the Bank, or they can just be thrown into the ladder match, and they would make for some great spots.
Now, since I've already done RVD, Swagger, and Cesaro in a triple threat recently, I assume we're not going to get another triple threat like that anytime soon.
No.
But
no.
The ladder match could work. I mean, well, I guess we'll mention more about the ladder match when we get to the Daniel Bryan segment. But...
Yes,
it's
we will.
It's going to be an interesting match because that could potentially be the match where you have to wrestle for the championship, and thus I don't know what's going to happen with those guys. Like, okay, if it turns out the Money in Bank is going to have to be for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship,
yes,
you're not going to let those three guys all in the match.
Well, here's the thing. I think you should, if only for a few reasons. First off, RVD could easily be the guy that you know won't win. So we already have that covered, right?
Yeah.
Cesaro's getting this
fair,
push.
I won't complain about RVD in the ladder match.
No, of course
because
not.
I know
Cesaro's
can...
getting the push up, right? Not only is Cesaro getting the push, but Wade Barrett is. So I think I think those are like two really cool guys, I think, to be, to get this rise. And also, the Intercontinental Champion has fought the WWF champion before for a title.
That's true.
So it isn't the first time.
These guys are not in a position right now where it would make sense for them.
No, I agree. I agree.
Storyline, mind you. Because I love all three of them. RVD, of course, is too old to win the title, but I love him. And Wade and Cesaro, it's an up-and-comer kind of way. And I would argue that I would personally put them in the match. But I feel like in storyline they're not there yet, where it would make more sense to put one of them in a match, perhaps RVD, because he fits the match style, and you already took away Ziggler, which was a stupid decision.
We'll talk about that later.
So then you can have Cesaro versus Barrett again.
Yes,
sort of.
Yes. I mean, that would be nice. Also,
again.
speaking of the end of the of the tag team match, I would like to mention something that really got to me. And again, I probably just sound like a heel at this point. They need to know what they're doing when they're working with Sheamus. Because, okay, if the Usos do what they did to, like, a guy like Cesaro, or even to someone like you know, like the Harper or Rowan, where maybe the you know, two of the Usos will, like, super kick Rowan, or rather Harper, right? It's like, oh, those two guys are small, right? They're small guys, and they're beating up a big guy. When Sheamus broke kick someone, and then that lets RVD do the five-star frog splash, as much as that looks like a great set, you know, a great spot, still, it's kind of like you know, it doesn't, like, that didn't need to happen. You know what I mean? Like Sheamus is so huge that when you broke, you know, when he broke kick someone, they're down for the count.
Yeah, so that's normal tag team etiquette, honestly.
I actually see no problem with that at all.
Because in the past, you'd see, like, if you think about, like, Ray wrestling with anybody, right? Ray would hit the 619 into something. Or something like that. Like
that's
the 619 into the Batista bomb, and you'd be like, but wait, the 619 knocks down most guys. Yeah, but it's tag team etiquette. No, I mean, that's
just
how it works.
It is. It's just one of those weird things where it's just...
Don't be that
I think it's
Sheamus.
Just the thing.
I mean,
I
there are a lot of things that Sheamus doesn't do right, but...
It's one of those... It's not even Sheamus's fault. It's whoever... Because it's one of those things where I just feel as if it's like... It's about pacing. I think that's what it is. And I bring it up because, you know, you also look at something like, you look, let's say, like the Sandow segment from tonight, or from, you know, from Monday. And it was like, he makes, you know, he makes one of the Clippers. Clippers? I was right? I don't know much about basketball.
The Pacers.
Pacers. Why did I say Clippers? Either way, the Pacers, right? So, makes fun of the Pacers. Immediately right after, Bo does it. Pacing, guys. You know, like, where you're going to put your spots and how, you know, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, you have Sheamus do something that was kind of, you know, that makes Paul Heyman go, that wasn't right on Sunday. On Monday, does something kind of like that again. Where it's just, you know, it's like, Sheamus, you're not a small guy. You know what I mean? Like, you need to, I don't know. I don't mean to focus just on Sheamus because I'm not a hater of his. I feel as if he should be, you know, he should even be put up more. I feel like him being the U.S. champion is actually, you know, one of the things where it's like, you know, he should be the, you know, in the contention for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Lose, mind you, but he should be in contention. You know, so I don't even think that he, I just feel as if, you know, they're doing weird things with him right now with spots. Where it's just, he's like, you know, it's like, Sheamus, you're not Daniel Bryan. You know, you need to kick more ass.
Him winning the title in the first place, I figured, would only be worthwhile because he would transition it over to someone else.
Exactly.
And then he lost to Cesaro, and I was just like,
He won against Cesaro.
I'm sorry, he beat Cesaro,
yes
indeed.
Yes.
And it was just weird for me because it was like, well, Cesaro obviously should have came out with a victory there. But, I mean, it is what it is. I guess Cesaro will be taking on Barrett soon.
Which is nice. And then, of course, we move on to Sandow being someone that I don't know about. So you can take that.
Back
you
to
can
more
help.
Jokes.
Yeah.
As somebody who enjoys sports, I liked that segment. And I also appreciate, for the thousandth time, Damian Sandow putting 150% into a gimmick.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So, you know, I mean, not to bore anyone out there, because I don't think anybody who listens to our podcast listens to hear me talk about sports. It was fun, and I liked it.
With the knowledge that I have about basketball, Damian Sandow really did have mad skills. He was really good. I thought he was going to make a goal.
Shut up, JD.
I really thought... No, it's kind of funny. I thought, obviously, he's meant to not be that good, but he was doing things that I can't do. So I thought, that's nice. And then all of a sudden,
stuff he does, you can do.
I mean, nah. The thing is that it was
just sorry, the way you phrased it.
It's just like basketball.
Yeah, I can do all the top rope jumps and stuff right now.
I'm not saying
you can't do them down the line. I'm just saying that right now,
the basketball gimmick
is the thing you had a problem with.
I mean, with his, here's the thing. With his other gimmicks, though, like with the actual speaking, like I can... I think I'm goodly speaking, but the thing is just like the fact that he could actually dribble a basketball. I was like, that's nice, that's good.
It's not difficult.
Listen, okay, you don't know me. Now you do. That's the problem. You should know. But and then that happened, right? And then Big Show came out and
slammed.
I love how
yeah.
Big. I love how when Big Show broke it, everyone was confused. It's Big Show.
Yeah, it was just like a hey, Big Show's still on the roster moment.
Well, remember something. I think recently, what was it, Wikipedia or the internet? It was either something like someone that works for, I believe it was Wikipedia, was like, oh, Big Show is like in the top 20
right.
people. Yeah, so
top
now they need 20, to focus
100?
On Big Show more. What was it?
Yeah, after Hogan, I think he was one of the most searched wrestlers on the internet.
Yes.
Based on Wikipedia and Google searches and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, which is funny because we've made jokes and off the podcast we've made jokes and I'm worried that they're going to think of pushing him in a weird way where it's just no guys, he's the most searched because they want to know how tall he is.
Yeah, that's it. It's just because he's a big guy and they want to know is he really 7 feet?
I bet you that's what it is. I don't think anyone goes, damn, I wonder what the Big Show is doing right now. You know, in a way that would make him, you know,
that popular.
No.
Well, I'm sure some people are like, hey, let's look up Big Show's Wikipedia. But nothing more than the average wrestler's Wikipedia outside of when it's needed for, like, his statistics, like, body-wise.
Right, because I can imagine kids, you know, just thinking, how big is he? It's like, well,
yeah,
he's the world's largest
man. Big Show?
And then all of a sudden they go on.
Why is TNA debuting a gimmick called The Biggest Show?
Exactly. And you just immediately just go, huh. And then all of a sudden the kid just like, you know, uses their whatever iPad or their phone and they just look up Big Show via Google. And that right there is probably the reason why he's not that he, you know, doesn't have a reason to be looked up. It's a random one. Let's
mm-hmm.
be honest. It's a random one. And then you jump to Kofi versus Bo, which was, you know, again, Bo has some, you know, great heel heat, right? But at the same time, it doesn't have the same impact because you just had Sandow doing his shtick. That's my opinion.
It didn't bother me that much.
Well, not really. I just think they could have moved it later on during the night. They could have switched the segment up, and it would have been funny, in my opinion.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it was a good match too. It's just weird that you know you have Bo beating Kofi again. So it kind of not that he shouldn't have a win streak or anything. It's weird.
It is.
Yeah.
Also, he slightly botched the Bulldog, which was disappointing. But
right.
It is what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it wasn't a bad match at all. It's just weird. You know, I'm wondering where they're going with Bo.
I don't know if you noticed this.
What?
Did you hear what he screamed when he put him in the headlock?
He screamed a lot of amazing things.
Yeah, well, at one point, he
right.
put him in a side headlock,
yes.
which is a traditional rest hold. And he screams, "Gotta wear him down!"
That's beautiful.
And I wanted to hug him. Because it's just the most... he's so dedicated to the stupidity that is Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
That's why the character is going to work. And people are catching on.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be
fine. That's the thing. I enjoy his gimmick. I'm just wondering when they actually might put him into a story. You know, because it's very interesting. Because I'm wondering what... Because I'm wondering if he's going to... I'm hoping he can be part of a tag team one day. Because I think that his, you know, his antics will be perfect. excuse me. His antics will be perfect with another person, you know, just like another human being in either a tag team or some kind of, you know, friendship or, you know, something. It would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just imagine him, you know, going around just, you know, like shaking the person's hand, you know. Like, imagine if he ends up going on a losing streak one day in a tag team and the person is pissed off with their losses, but he's just Bo Dallas. You know, where it's just, that's the thing, it's just imagine him. Just don't worry. We'll win one day. Besides, wins and losses don't matter. What matters is the experience and the training we got through our match.
I mean, I see like that's something he would say, so that doesn't bother me either.
Yeah.
I want a story for him, though, if only because he's not bad in the ring. He's obviously good on the mic. Let's do something with this.
Oh, yeah. He deserves it. And then, of course, we move on now to the you know, the Stephanie segment, another big moment of the night, I feel. Obviously, just like her husband, she's a great heel. You know, I do feel as if they are great as a couple. Like, in real life, just, you know, the fact that they found each other is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm tearing up. I'm really sad. Yeah, I'm not sick. I still am, but right at this current moment, I'm just so sad because they're just so beautiful together.
Rusev and Lana?
I'm coughing out of sadness. What?
Rusev and Lana?
Yes. I was talking about Stephanie, but yes, Rusev and Lana are perfect together. No, but seriously, though, she's a great heel, and, you know, and she brought out a great ultimatum. Where it's just, you know, it's just, if Daniel Bryan doesn't compete, which I'm worried because I'm wondering if they do want him to compete.
I assume they want him to compete. But if they feel he's not ready,
yes,
they realize they have a future with this guy. So they're just going to do the Money in the Bank for the title, which would be very
interesting. So you do think that they are doing this, like they don't have a plan set, they're actually doing it as an out just in case?
I think that's the plan. I think that is the plan, because that works in storyline. Stephanie puts him in a brutal match if he's healthy, and if he's not ready to work, he loses the title, and he vacates the title, and we get to watch a very entertaining Money in the Bank championship match.
True. I actually don't like that the championship will be on the line. Because I am a huge fan of the ability to have a briefcase that allows you at any time to just at any time to just bring it up in ways that,
but they fuck it up every time.
Really?
Recently,
here's the thing though. I do feel as if it is random enough though. Like I felt like Randy Orton. I mean, that's it again. I understand Triple H being in a special referee match does make you feel as if something's going to be off.
Yeah, that was weird. And then before that, we had around the same time, we had Sandow getting screwed. And
here's the thing.
Sometimes...
He got screwed, right? But I will admit, it was out of nowhere. And I think that's, at the very least, that always makes me happy, even
Sandow
if the outcome is really bad. Yeah, basically. No.
Do you remember what happened with Sandow's Money in the Bank thing?
I was trying to say to you, let me finish a sentence again. Even if the ending is really bad, which I agree, I enjoy the beginning. Like, it still gets me excited, regardless of, even though, again, we can talk about the ending forever, you know, and how bad that was. But in the beginning of, because I remember, it was just Cena cutting a promo, you know, and it was the way I wanted it to be, where it's just, you know, out of nowhere, Sandow comes in, you know, and I hope that they can continue that. That's why I actually want... If they do make it a, you know, for the WWE title, they make another impromptu match for a chance. I want there to be a chance. I mean, I feel like it gives guys that push. And I know you might be thinking, well, the title run would give someone a push, but a transitional, you know? Once Daniel Bryan comes back, whoever it is, he's winning it from.
But what if it's
not? I mean, that would be interesting.
Because
if
here's the
buying,
thing, like,
right.
Okay, at the cost of, like, someone, Daniel Bryan gets to rest a little bit, someone else gets to have the title, right? We have no money in the bank. If we do get a money in the bank, that person may have to go up against Daniel Bryan.
Yes. No, I'm
and
saying
then
that they
probably
them.
Lose.
That's what I'm trying to say. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I
How is that helping them?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want that. I want someone to get the shot via the Money in the Bank.
I'm saying if they have the Money in the Bank and they want to pull that trigger within the next few months, right?
Right.
If they have the Money in the Bank, Daniel Bryan beats Kane, keeps his title.
Right.
They would have to go up in the next few months against Daniel Bryan, and probably they would lose by using that title shot.
Oh, fair enough. But I mean, at the same time, though, so you're saying it would be better if Daniel Bryan wins it from someone?
Yeah, traditionally, what happens? Ideally, what would happen is Daniel Bryan in the underdog role is always best, and normally they treat Money in the Bank winners like shit for a bit because they assume that winning the Money in the Bank shot will give them a big push.
Right.
So,
It's weird because in normal circumstances, I love the Money in the Bank. I love the two Money in the Banks, actually, when we had the double title one, because I thought that was so exciting that somebody had the briefcase to carry around for a while and it was just entertaining. Mm. So now by doing this Money in the Bank ladder match thing, you automatically give someone the chance to do something without having the stupid Money in the Bank, like, I'm going to make them lose six matches in a row push.
Yes, fair enough.
And
fair
Daniel
enough.
Gets
point.
To come back and be an underdog, which is his best role.
True,
and he gets
true.
Extra time to heal up, which is
yes.
definitely a good thing. I understand wanting the Money in the Bank. I mean, I like it too. I just feel like they don't handle it as well as they could. But
okay, fair enough, fair enough. If they had handled it better, maybe it'd be a different conversation.
Yeah, and there have been
yeah.
in the past. I mean, Edge's most of Edge's little title things have been done well. I think CM
yeah.
Punk had one which was done well. Daniel
right.
Bryan himself had one that was done. So it's, you know, it's like hit or miss with them.
Right, right, right. Oh, well.
Because before John Cena's stupid DQ thing and Sandow losing, the Money in the Bank winner had always won. So...
Mm-hmm.
In a way, that was done well. It's just the fact that the build towards it was really bad because they had them lose. And then it's like, wow, it's really out of nowhere. But it became
yeah.
stupid.
Yes, I understand. But also, I think what really made me love Stephanie more is what
yeah.
she said about Cena. Just the fans loving him thing. Just, oh, the fans love you as much as they love me. I love her so much. She's wonderful.
Yeah, no, Stephanie was on her game for that little
oh,
thing.
Yeah.
Where she, Cena tried to get into jokes and stuff, and she basically shut him down every time. Even when
yeah.
he made the shot about her breast surgery, she was just like, that put me in action. And I was like,
Which actually really gets me upset, if only because... I mean, it's just a weird thing where it's just, I'm not a fan of implants, but I'm also
I just
not
thought
the
whoever
one getting
that was
them.
Stupid. Because,
yeah.
like, John
yeah.
didn't need to make that crack. I think that was pretty stupid. And Stephanie's
no,
response
just,
was intriguing, I guess, but,
yeah.
like...
Well, it's just a weird thing where, we've talked about this, everyone backstage is very, not everyone, but I shouldn't really generalize, but there are people backstage who are very immature. And I think for some reason they are able to write for John in a way that I feel as if, okay, I feel as if that's something that, like, 15-year-old me would have laughed at, you know, a
mm-hmm.
lot, where now it's just, I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm just saying that it wasn't good for live television. Like, that's something that I could say to one of my friends, and we can probably have a very good laugh, you know? And it's, like, because it's personal... And we know each other, and I know technically to them it's like, oh, no, well, we do know each other, like, in real life and whatever. But it's just on television when there are children watching, and I'm not even the kind of guy who just feels that way, where it's like, oh, yeah, children, but we need to think about the children. You do when it's John Cena. So that's the big problem, where it's just, I don't think John Cena should be making fun of someone. Because the thing is you can assume that Steph got them because she was feeling insecure. And obviously she cared, and she doesn't care enough, you know, because obviously she signed off on it. She's the damn boss, right? She signed off on the joke. But still, it's just one of those things that I'm just not a huge fan of. Because, as I was saying earlier, I'm not a fan of getting implants, or seeing implants, but it's, you know, with someone that I'd be dating. But I'm also not the one getting them, and I'm not going to make fun of someone who got them. You know? I mean, I'll only make a joke, let's say, about Nikki Bella because she kind of got them for her career, where Stephanie, if she hadn't gotten them, it wouldn't have changed the career at all. You know, she's still Stephanie McMahon. And that's the thing, you know? And, I mean, hey, I don't even know Nikki. Maybe she was feeling insecure as well. And, you know, and we won't really make fun of Nikki. We'll just say, you know, oh, we need, you know, Nikki's a Bella twin. Which one? Well, there's a way to kind of tell that there's a difference, you know? It's like, we can tell the difference between the Bella twins slightly now. There's a slight difference between the two of them. But we won't sit there and do what John did, you know, where it's kind of, it just feels very, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean, Satish? Satish, are you dying?
Emma?
I think you're dying.
Emma?
It sounds like you are.
I might be.
I'm actually
worried
about Satish, everyone.
Give me one second.
Sure.
Everyone, yeah, I think Fish is dying.
My phone was being weird for a moment. I think we're all right now.
So you weren't breathing heavy?
I wasn't intentionally doing it.
All right, so Stitch's house is haunted, everyone, so please.
Matt, you're just worried because you think your house is haunted this week.
I don't think my house is haunted this week. I'm just really nervous whenever I turn a corner. But I think that's, yeah, I think everyone can say the same.
Or when you turn your back.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me, you son of a bitch. But anyway, I would like to mention that...
no sleep for Matt tonight.
No sleep for Matt. You've also mentioned this, too. Cena's a great heel.
Oh, boy. Are we there? Yeah, we're there.
Well, we actually skipped over it for a second because you mentioned the breast comment.
Right, we started talking about Stephanie.
Yes. Well, no. Well, we're still talking about Stephanie, technically. It's the whole authority. But please, since I've talked so much, please tell them why John Cena's a heel.
I don't even want to do this again because I talked about it so much. And I mentioned it to you before the podcast. But John came out on Monday night seemingly unscathed and then wrestled the match.
That's not even the reason why.
What are we talking about now?
Oh, but no, that's a good reason, mind you. That's a good reason. But I was talking about the whole immediately, you know, John mentions the fact that John comes out. You're a bad authority. Really? It's been a while, John.
Oh, yeah, it was just really funny because the way John started off his whole shtick was if he just noticed the authority was being bad.
Yeah.
It was really funny. Like, he woke up and thought, man, these guys are mean. I should care. Yeah, John.
Yeah.
As a superhero, you should care.
Yeah, no. And the reason why we bring up all this heel stuff is because of the fact that, it's subtle, and it's subtleties that we shouldn't pick up on because it isn't their intent, but it still happens. When does John Cena come up to talk to the authority about being mean and to fight them? The second Daniel Bryan's gone.
Yeah, it's just funny because it's like, is this very subtly the most heel thing ever? And
yeah.
It just bothers me because John Cena does bother me, I'm not going to lie. And the fact that he continued not to sell things really irked me.
Yeah.
Because it feels
yeah.
like it's a slap in the face to someone like me who pays attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
And I know I'm dumb for paying attention, but everyone does it but him.
And it's very interesting because, you know, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, I was saying it to Danny. He's actually built up Bray Wyatt very well with words, but only with words. Only with words.
Yeah,
he
was doing
yeah.
the same for Daniel Bryan for a bit. I mean, when he was making
yeah.
the comparisons to himself and Triple H, that
yeah.
was really well heard. I mean, before the stupid breast comment, because what it did was it just seemed like he was joking the whole time. And
yeah.
if he had stayed serious, I would have really appreciated that bit.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I think, and what I also like, what I would also like to mention is that, John Cena, the whole heel thing, right? You could say that, he's only helping them out because you could argue that they got Daniel Bryan injured. You know, they put him through so many hard matches, and they're the ones that are hurting Daniel Bryan. And it's like, well, okay, but John needs to make that more apparent, where John needs to come out and say, like he said, look what you did to Daniel Bryan, but in a way where look what you did at SummerSlam almost a year ago.
Wow.
Where really, guess what I'm saying? Remember that? He literally said, he's like, and then when I lost the title, you took it away from him. And I thought, that was a year ago, John.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, that does show how long we have the story angle running.
Yeah.
And then some, because we hit the climax of WrestleMania, and they're still bothering the crap out of him, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because just put down your bosses and they disappear.
Yeah.
But
the thing, where it's just, you needed to have John say something along the lines of, oh, you know, you hurt him currently, and that's why I decided this is too much. You know, that's the thing. I have now decided that it is too much, where it's like, it got to the point where the guy who I thought could handle it, because that's the thing. He didn't really, he needed to say things like, I thought Daniel Bryan could handle it because he, you know, because I know him personally and he's great, but that wasn't really said. So it comes off as, like you said, the most slickest kind of heel thing in the world, where Daniel Bryan is gone. There's a chance he will lose his title. I want to fight the authority, you know? I want to try to get in on this title thing, you know? And it's like...
It seems like we're nitpicking at Cena, but it is funny, and it's like one of those coincidences, quote-unquote. You know,
which isn't the first time. Yeah.
Right, it's not. And every face on the roster at the same time is build to, like, love Cena and want to help him, like the Usos. But
yeah.
he won't do the same.
And that's
not
a
always.
Funny thing, where it's just, no, and it's just, and it's upsetting if only because, again, it's like, it's little tiny subtle things that we shouldn't be picking up on, but they really should if only because, again, just, like, there isn't, they can't assume that there's one kid out there who's just thinking, John, it's been a year, you know, like, John, like, it's been a while, John, like, there's so much stuff, that, and you can't even say, you know, oh, but he's been caught up with Bray for, like, what, 2 months? Like,
yeah.
there was a while that he wasn't caught up with Bray. Or technically 3 months, if you want to say that, the build-up to WrestleMania. But there was a long time where he wasn't caught up with Bray. And you know, Daniel Bryan was going through this harsh, I mean, there's so much with the, you know, with the authority.
Mm-hmm.
And what did John Cena do? He came right back and beelined for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Correct.
And then fought Randy Orton, right? And only said, I'm fighting Randy Orton because I'm fighting Randy Orton. Nothing to do with the authority, right? He would call him out on, you know, not being a fighting champion. But he
right.
never in any way brought it back to Daniel Bryan, who I understand you might want Daniel to win over his own anything. You don't really want to mix it with John. I understand it a bit. But you don't even have John mention it. As if, and we've said this before, everything's happening, every single match is happening in a different world.
Right, which is a
you know?
Huge issue for something like Raw.
Yeah. I mean, especially when they're not happening on different worlds, we have these really awkward things where it's just you have Damian Sandow in one segment, you know, basically saying screw the authority, technically. And then later on during the night comes out to fight the Shield.
Right, which was a terrible, terrible thing to have happen.
Exactly. Like, just little things like that where it's just, they're not even so little when they add up, and that's the problem.
Right.
Right. And then, of course, John Cena fought Kane, which is just such a weird match. I mean, I can't even believe that I'm reviewing it. Why is this a sentence?
It just upset me because of all the crap that I just... You know what I mean.
Yeah.
It upset me because of the fact that he looked, Cena looked like he was unhurt, and
yeah.
then basically managed to get away from Kane, outpower Kane and all that crap, without
yeah.
issue. And this is the same Kane who has dominated and been the thorn in Daniel Bryan's side.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean,
and,
what
are
we really doing here?
Exactly. And Cena wins even when he loses, you know, via the DQ.
Right. So, it was just stupid, in my opinion.
Yes.
Because,
I mean, have to say, though. I'm sorry, you first.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. All I was going to say was, him throwing the steps at Kane, I was actually fine with that, because he is the Demon Kane. So it's like,
right.
So it's just, which is kind of funny, because I literally said, if he threw the steps at Kane, I wouldn't care. The next night he does. Do they listen? You know, are they listening right now?
Right.
I'm wondering. You know, it's very weird. But as you were saying, though?
No, the whole thing just really irks me, because I don't know why we let that happen. Because now, what happens from there next week? Like, what happens to John Cena next week?
Yeah, I think they're I do think that they're trying to build up a rivalry between him and the authority. If only, and I know it sounds weird to say that they're trying to make John Cena liked, but I really think that they're trying to save John Cena in a way where it's just, all right, clearly anyone he fights, you know, will be cheered. But will people
mm-hmm.
cheer on the authority? And I'm
no,
wondering
right?
if they will. What? Well, that's the thing, yeah. We
depending
don't know.
On the city.
That's the thing, yeah. Depending on the city, we may get Stephanie McMahon and Triple H chance. And that's really weird.
But
we don't know. Yeah.
We're certainly
going to
get some Evolution chance now.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, move it, but yeah, it's nice. But moving forward, by the way, when because now we're moving on to Los Matadores versus 3MB, when they said that they used Miracle-Gro on Hornswoggle, I'm not going to lie. I called it immediately. I said, Hornswoggle's going to have an afro. And I was really happy to be proven right.
I enjoyed that, actually.
Yes.
I still don't like that they're forcing this kind of thing again, but...
Yeah. But, yeah, no. And you know, and the match was very short, but I'm okay with it because, you know, it's like, if you're going to have more matches like this,
Just let him be short.
Just like a quick cool off for the crowd, and it passes
exactly.
by, and that's that.
Yeah, and El Cerrito wearing the afro, it's something. Like, it's a thing. We have to accept it. I'm hoping he comes out with the afro every week. Pretty much every week, I'm hoping. And then we had Nikki versus Alicia Fox and Oksana, which which is kind of funny. The thing that really made me laugh is, it's like, this is the reality era. They're trying to cross the line between kayfabe and not kayfabe. They want to make you think, I sent out Oksana to injure Nikki.
Right.
I think they want to make you think that, because in my head it makes me think, why would you still use
it
Oksana?
It seems almost, right?
Yeah. Like, why would you send out Oksana to do things when she injured someone? Wait, she's with Alicia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it felt. That's how it felt to me.
And
I'm what I
got another crazy moment.
Mm-hmm. What I do want to say, though, an issue I feel, is that this match was the one that went way too fast that should not have, because it makes Nikki look way too weak. And by the way, I'm not saying I want the Bella Twins to look really strong, but I mean, her sister is gone, so it's just like, with her sister gone, you kind of need to build up the Divas singles division. I mean, what if you want Nikki to fight, like, you know, Paige or something? Because,
yeah, and I was
going to
mention, I mean, this was a card without Paige, so...
Yeah, you don't need that. And, you know, I mean, I'm happy that we still have Alicia Fox being Alicia Fox, but it's still an issue, where it's just, you know, who's going to fight Paige next, you know? And so it would have been nice to have had, you know, Nikki put up a fight and then die, because it's 2-on-1. But it was just way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they had the Wyatt promo, which I was very nervous. Because the way they cut in, I thought, is Alicia Fox going to be part of the Wyatts? Did you notice that? It was just, the cut was so quick. It was just Alicia Fox being crazy and then the Wyatt promo. And I was like,
I think that's what happened. I think it was weird because...
Yes.
But we're talking about the Harper-Rowan one?
Yes. And by the way, I knew they were going to have a shot of the rocking chair. And I was actually really excited for it to happen. I was like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, no, it kind of made me laugh because I was like... Well, Harper did a really good job, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. He was... Yes, no, he's great. And the one thing that I do want to mention, though... is I'm upset. We were going to wait till like it actually came up as a promo, but you know, now that we're here and we're talking about this, I'm really upset that they're bringing Bray back on SmackDown, if only because, you know, I was hoping that they would bring Bray back stronger than ever in some like weird occult type way, because obviously, you know, he's gone from Raw. So it's making you feel as if, oh, he's gone from Raw, and he may even be gone for like 2-3 weeks. And then when he comes back, it's through some weird, like some really just weird kind of like, what's this? There's smoke. Ah, but now it's just, oh, he's back on SmackDown.
Right.
You know, oh, that's okay. You know, we really wanted it. Yeah. I don't know.
We really wanted it.
Yeah. And believe me, I understand why he wouldn't be on Raw. It's just, if you're going to keep him off, you should keep him off for a bit longer. You know, it's a bit too soon, I feel, for it to happen. Especially when you gave Harper some excellent moments. So, you know, so I'm really hoping that they aren't trying to signal some kind of breakup or dissension, because that would be a crime. The Shield, understandable. This, crime.
I'm not sure what they're doing with it, but I am intrigued by the Bray on SmackDown. I don't think I like it yet, so they'll have to convince me.
I agree. And then we had Rose versus Swagger.
Which was a lot of fun, actually.
It was. Just as much fun as it was on SmackDown, I feel. Because, you know, I think Adam Rose is really, at least on the main card, is really kind of, you know, getting into the character during the match. You know, he's having a lot of these effeminate moments. But I swear, and I know you and I disagree on this, I swear, and I will download the file, if not to actually make sure I can hear it over and over again. And I'll talk to you about it again. I'm sure that they were booing Rose at certain points, which is being kind of effeminate, and I didn't
really
like it.
I don't think they were, and I believe that they would, but I don't think I heard it. And he got such huge cheers after that. I feel like if they were booing him for being effeminate, then the cheers would have been less loud if he had won.
True, true. I mean, honestly, I do want to watch it again. But remember, though, he also has his own people to help cheer into microphones.
Yeah, but I mean, there were some real cheers, I think, from that crowd.
No, I agree. But it was just very weird because I heard cheering when he was being effeminate. And booing, rather, when he was being effeminate. And then I also heard some booing when he was actually getting back on the offensive. And I was being really upset because I thought, really, am I, like, are we in a freaking town that is actually upset and actually wants Jack Swagger to win? You know, or at the very least is saying, we don't want that guy to win because we think he might be gay. We want the racist to win. You know, like, I was uneasy when I thought I heard that. And I say thought because I trust you, and you saw it recently, so your memory isn't screwed up. You know, that
right.
Isn't that bad. But I'll definitely try to hear it again and see if I was right or wrong, or maybe I was misconstruing, maybe they were trying to boo Jack or something, I'm not sure. I'm dying.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. And then the Usos had their segment. How'd you feel about that?
Their weird promo?
Yes, their weird promo.
That bothers me because I feel like they really don't know what to do with the Usos.
Well, I'll agree with that. But I like their promos if only because you can say what you want to about them, about their promos and everything, but I feel like it's them. That's the thing. I feel like I'm seeing them, you know, as real people. And that's really all I want from the people that are giving promos. You know, I hate it when someone will cut a promo. Like, let's say when, like, Wade Barrett cut a promo on Main Event, and I'll feel as if I'm not getting everything of him. Like, I'm just getting, like, you know, he's saying things that he wanted to say, maybe. Maybe some of the jokes are his, but he's getting more of a direction. Like, he's being told, all right, here's what you should do. Here's how you should do it. Here, do this. Like, I enjoy that the Usos, I don't feel like someone wrote that for them. You know, and if they did, then it said, you know, it was written in a way where they took this, you know, this liberty where they can just bark like dogs, you know. And I sat there and thought, it's nice. It feels as if they're actually kind of, you know, taking it on themselves rather than just, you know, just like reading from a script. And I think maybe they realized that, where I think they tried to make them read from scripts and thought, you know what, this isn't working.
Right.
And it's good because I just like them. You know, I like, I admit, though, yeah, they don't know what they're doing. But hopefully, I think maybe with all the, you know, with what they've been feeding the announce team, they're working on doing, you know, the Wyatts versus the Usos for the title at Money in the Bank. Which is what
I
assume they're
work.
Doing.
I mean.
Oh, very well. Should have happened earlier, but hey, it's happening. So who are we to complain, you know? And then, of course, we move down more to the actual tag match, which was. It was strange because it's just a good match, but, I mean, they've had so many matches, you know, pre-feud, that it just, I don't know. It was, since it was pre-feud, it just feels like it's already played out, which is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to say that there were a lot of, you know, there were a lot of good things in the match. I mean, heck, there were a lot of points in the match where I thought the Usos were going to win, and it was actually going to upset me because as much as I love the Usos, as I said over and over, you know, the Wyatts needed that win.
Right.
And I'm very happy that they won. Because if the Usos had won, what would you have done from there, you know? And it's upsetting because that's what WWE usually does. Where, I've said this over and over, I feel like they don't enjoy money sometimes. Where they just have this potential feud, and then they just drop it.
Right.
So I'm very excited about this feud. Because, hey, it's a feud, everyone. Look at that, a feud. Thank goodness. And
seem so, like, angry and everything. But, like, admittedly, I mean, some of these stories are going to be good, you know? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it sounds like we are angry, but honestly, it's just one of those things where everything is turning around for the better, so I'm happy, you know? I'm happy.
Right.
I'm actually happy. It might sound like I'm not, but I'm only bitching if only because, you know, over the last few months, they've just done some really awkward, confusing things where it's just, you know, you can have a nice feud, and then you drop it. Like, let's say, like, you know, like Wade Barrett, right? Wade Barrett, while I love his push, you know, he and Big E could have actually had a feud. But no, they just decided, nope, let's have him win, and then we drop this guy. And that's, and it's funny because that's, you know, that can't be a feud, right? That just has to be a one-off pay-per-view. But then everything else has to last six pay-per-views, you know?
Right, which is obviously...
With little twists here and there. right? Where it's just, I mean, granted, I'm still a huge fan of where this Shield Evolution thing is going, mm-hmm. but at the same time, when you look at it without this twist, you know, it's like, yeah, technically it's still Shield versus Evolution for the, you know, for the third pay-per-view in a row. Thankfully, there's these little twists that I think could make it last another 2-3 months. But
right,
still,
this is now huge.
Oh, yes. But at the same time, though, it's what they do, where it's just, you know, yeah, Bray Wyatt and John Cena have to fight at WrestleMania, you know, Extreme Rules, and
okay,
Payback.
This is Bray Cena 12 at
exactly.
this point.
Yeah, so it's just, it doesn't need to be done. You know, it just, it doesn't. So that's, so for some, you know, for some, though, I think it does. You know, where, at the very least, two. You know, where Bray Wyatt, you know, Bray, you could have had Big E versus, you know, Wade Barrett for at least another pay-per-view, and then, you know, where, you know, Barrett could have gotten the win, could have made Big E look really good, and then you move on.
Right.
You know. But moving forward, though, Ziggler versus ADR, I know you had a big problem with this match.
It just bothered me because why?
Right.
You know, Dolph is obviously the guy who fits the match better.
Yes.
What the hell is ADR doing?
I wonder,
you
if
know,
they're just
I
really worried
about...
I always
don't like it when Dolph loses, so
yes.
It's kind of like a... It is a bias there.
Well, I don't like that about... I don't like when Dolph loses either. But what I'm wondering is maybe they just were worried of if he would hurt himself. Because it's
they
a huge ladder match.
They don't care about that anymore, honestly. Because how
really?
Long can you use that excuse? If you really care about him not hurting himself, then
yes.
release him.
Fair enough.
Then don't
good
wrestle.
Point.
Don't let him wrestle.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Because that's just a really, that's a cop-out. If at some point it's like, maybe he'll hurt himself. Anyone can hurt themselves in that match.
True. True. But he
you
has
know?
A, his, yes, he's prone to injury, I would say.
Yeah, but.
Not, mind you, I want him to win. I want him there.
To win.
But, you know, but I, oh yeah, imagine if he had won the match. How funny would that be? That would be, that. This would be the month of swerves.
Wow.
Just, yeah. He wins the match. He chooses to, mind you, it's still a Money in the Bank, so he could easily lose it. But he wins the match. He joins the Shield and dyes his hair.
Oh, wow.
He is now Dolph Rollins.
Dolph and Seth would have a good match, I'd say.
They would. That would be a nice rivalry. Sadly, it'll never happen. But,
yeah.
No, but anyway, so I have to say, though, I was in love with Ziggler versus ADR, if only because I just really am happy when matches are unpredictable.
Yes.
You know, and it's funny because even though you might say, you know, oh, well, you know, it became predictable when Dolph lost because, you know, they also teased it a lot and it didn't happen. But if you think about it, it isn't like ADR is getting a lot of wins. So, in a way, even ADR winning was a bit unpredictable, I feel. Because, while, yes, the you
know, it's
always... I think
it was
always,
a bit stupid. There's a
thing,
stupid and unpredictable for me.
Well, no, I'm still saying it was stupid. Fair enough. But I say unpredictable in the sense that, like, I very little bit. Because, yes, you could say it's predictable if Ziggler doesn't win. But it was against ADR. Like, it wasn't... If it was Dolph Ziggler versus, I mean, you know, let's say... okay, Dolph Ziggler versus Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty sure who's going to win that match. You know,
yeah.
Not, pretty positive. But when it's Ziggler versus ADR, both of these guys have not been pushed as well as they should have recently. You know,
right,
so,
but isn't it a dumb move to put an ADR over?
No, I agree, because of the spots and everything, yes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I assume that they don't want... It's weird to say you don't want everyone to be a high flyer. Because back in the day, we used to have... But, I mean, heck, I think, if I'm correct, I believe we've had Ric Flair in Money in the Bank matches before.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So there's always one.
Mm-hmm.
There's always one. So ADR could be that one. There's always one. But, and then, of course, next we have Goldust and Sin Cara versus Rybacksel, which is very funny, if only because I think they knew what they were doing. When they picked Sin Cara, where they thought, let's just choose people who really won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though you might say, oh, well, they both, like, you know, have something on their face, right? It wasn't something that could easily mesh together. I mean, heck, even though you could say whatever you want to say about Goldust and Cody Rhodes in their losing streak, it's Sin Cara.
Right.
You know, it's the guy who's barely been on, and when he was on, he lost to Bo. And then also to Rusev beforehand. Cody's really bad at this.
Yeah, no, like, that was such a weird choice, because I'm confused, because I assume now for sure they're going to make Cody a heel. I just, because him picking Sin Cara felt more like a joke than anything else.
No, I just think he's really bad at this, because all of a sudden on main event, he chooses Kofi, who looked very good during the match, by the way, but who also ate the pin. And it's just a thing where I'm wondering who they're going to turn heel. Like, I'm wondering if they may turn Goldust heel, if only because he's thinking, you know. Yeah, no, it is okay. But I'm wondering if that's what they're doing, where Cody, like, I'm wondering if they're trying to really tease things now because they know that we're onto them. So they're just trying to, they're trying to think, oh, we teased Cody, but it's actually not a heel turn. He's actually just thinking, damn, I want better for you. And then but he's so bad at this that immediately Goldust gets pissed, and then that's a heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then on his way out, you know, Goldust helps Cody. Which would be nice. Well, because I don't know if you noticed, I want to say he's on his way out, if only because for me anyway, it seems as if he's gotten less agile in the ring recently.
I think so, too.
And I think maybe that's just their way of saying, you know, if you're going to stay here longer, you need to cut down on certain moves. And he's been doing it, but I don't think he's staying there that much longer. Like,
mm-hmm.
I do not believe we'll be seeing Goldust here, you know, for next SummerSlam. If we are,
I think
dear
we
God?
Are. I think that'll be his last match. Oh, next
no, I'm
SummerSlam
sorry.
Or this SummerSlam?
That's what I'm saying. Not this SummerSlam. I mean next year's SummerSlam.
Oh, I agree. He won't be here.
No, yes.
I mean,
I doubt
he'll make it to WrestleMania, and if only to work that match with Cody.
Exactly. But I'm hoping he can work it at SummerSlam. Because if this is your slow build, you're actually doing it very well, keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the final thing that we talk about before we cut ourselves off, Lana and Rusev.
The thing that I liked about this segment is that I think earlier you used the phrase hamming it up, right? In terms of over-the-topness, my God.
Yes.
Someone decided, you know what? If we're going to do this segment with Rusev, we're going to make it over-the-top and go all out. And you know what?
Oh, yeah.
They freaking did. And I didn't care. I really didn't care because Lana was off her game. But when they started playing the Russian anthem and Rusev started just standing there like he was a goddamn hero, I lost it. Because that was really funny to me. Just Rusev just standing there as if he had just received like a gold medal, a real gold medal, not one from this cheap Russian thing. And just standing there like, yes, enjoy my anthem.
No,
and
it's just very...
It cracked me up so much.
No, it's funny because that's exactly how I feel. And also, her being off her game, I know it sounds silly that I always blame creative, but she's been on her game for so long. She's been so good for so long.
Yep.
For some reason, you have to just feel as if someone said, oh, start being flustered. Like, start, you know, being upset
right,
at their chance.
Right, we talked about this, where I was saying, I don't think Lana was on her game, and you explained to me what happened was on SmackDown?
Yes, which is basically
the
same
thing.
Where
on SmackDown, where...
Yeah. Where
somehow, for some reason now she's affected by USA chants.
Yes.
And old Lana wouldn't do that.
Yes, no. I kind of get the psychology in a way where I feel as if maybe it's because, like, you know, just, I mean, the thing is, a while ago, you know, not even a while, but maybe like 2-3 weeks back maybe, she was kind of getting annoyed with the chants, but not just like, just kind of looking annoyed, like,
Right.
You know. Where, and then it kind of worked with her now saying, you know, shut up. Well, the thing is, on Friday it was nice because she was kind of telling them, like, stop it with your USH. Like, it was kind of like that. Now, tonight she said shut up, which really got me.
Yeah, it annoyed me because it's,
that's
like,
the word
she's
that
not
she should not
care.
And not just that, but the word shut up is very, so, with the way she always speaks, shut up is very, America.
Yeah,
you know, it's like very, like.
Too. Right, I agree.
Yeah, it was just. It's one of those things, and it's upsetting if only because, you know, you said the perfect thing to me over the phone, because that's when we talked about this. We didn't talk about it on the podcast yet.
Yeah.
When you mentioned it over the phone, you said the perfect thing. You said that the message is spreading perfectly. You know?
Right, there's no reason for, because you mentioned, it was like, maybe she's getting annoyed. And
my
counterpoint was that, why would she get annoyed? Because she's freaking dominant. Like, you know, Rusev is dominating. She has no reason to be annoyed. If anything, she has more reason to laugh and say puny Americans.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I might say, you know, maybe, and I, again, it's very, I think it's fragile. You know, it's weak in a way, I feel. Maybe it's the fact that all these wins have been occurring, yet still they haven't turned. Yet
right.
still they're just very, you know, belligerent. You know, still they're just here and they're shouting,
but
boo.
That's what she expects of Americans.
That's
this
the thing, yeah,
American.
That's the funny thing.
So that's
the
saying,
thing, yeah.
I don't get in any reason why now she suddenly cares about these chants.
Right, right. Fair enough, fair enough.
It should have been the reverse.
That is quite true, actually, yes.
Well, in the beginning, she's just like, what are you doing? Why are you chanting USA? And now she would just laugh and be like, you puny Americans have no idea what you're doing. Rusev is going to dominate whether you chant USA or not.
Yeah.
But she's become less confident, which is weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's... WWE does this a lot for some reason. I think it just. I think we've talked about this. Before we go, I just want to do a little, you know. I feel as if they, you know, they like to test things out on people. But the problem is, I mean, maybe they do use their house shows more effectively than we know because obviously we don't go to them. But, I mean, I'm going to
well,
one in...
You will
in,
be going
you know,
to one in July.
I will, in July, which will be very interesting. It's the SummerSlam Heatwave Tour, which I'm hoping, even though I don't want Daniel Bryan to be wrestling, I hope he is there because, I mean, heck, the rumored card was actually going to be, apparently, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
While I don't want him to wrestle, that does sound beautiful, so I'm wondering what will be in its place. But anyway, but as I was saying, though... I'm sure they use their house shows effectively to kind of test things out, but at the same time, I feel as if they just think that they like to do more tests on television than they should. And
mm-hmm.
then we have things like this, where, I mean, heck, look at the Shield's babyface turn, right? It was tested a bit. You could tell either, you know, when, like, John Cena would, like, come out and kind of help them in certain ways, like, either in backstage segments that you saw, like, you know, on the backstage pass after Raw, or even at house shows, right? But at the same time, though, you know, and it worked out very well, obviously, their babyface turn. But in saying, oh, yeah, let's try this out a little bit, oh, yeah, now let's try it out on television, that's a huge gamble. And, I mean, and we're okay with gambles, but sometimes, only sometimes, we do admit, guys, if it's not broke, don't, you know, don't fix it. Like, Lana was the
right.
only thing, I think, about Rusev that was not broken.
Lana
you know,
was
that was
the redeeming
perfect.
Thing about Rusev.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
I was getting quite bored of him. I admitted this.
Yeah.
You know. And I wanted him to do things that made me interested. But
and don't
didn't.
Worry. He's going to get, if the rumors are correct, which there are some rumors, he's going to get the Umaga push. So, you know.
That's always a weird phrase for me, if only because of the fact that, you know, he's dead.
Yeah, yeah. Also, if anyone doesn't know, he actually was also related to The Rock. So, you know, a lot of The Rock's family has gotten into the WWE. And, you know, and he was also very good at what he did. I mean, I didn't really appreciate him at the time because I was a teenager and, you know, I was marking out and everything. But, you know, he was actually very good at what he did. So he's going to be getting an Umaga push, Rusev. So, you know, so thumbs up to Rusev. If you hate him now, you probably won't like him later.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anywho... we've come to the end of our show. We would like to thank you guys for listening. As the shows have gotten longer and longer and longer, I'm happy that you've all stayed. Unless you're asleep, which, you know, good night. And, yeah, I mean, thank you guys for listening to those guys. If you want to see more of our shows, I mean, you know, we'll be doing a lot more different, you know, different types of shows this week. Tomorrow we will be doing a Cooler's Revenge show. Satish won't be making it, sadly. Sorry, Satish. But
I have work.
Myself, yes, he has work. He has things to do.
So you guys should make Matt watch the new X-Men movie so we can review it. It was good.
I'm going to see it. And also, so tomorrow, Cooler's Revenge with myself along with Tristan Walter. We've done a lot of DBZ movies. We've done the first five as well as the Garlic Jr. filler because why not, right? And also on Thursday, we will be doing a comic review because, you know, obviously every single week comic books come out on Wednesday. And, you know, the new comics coming out this week will be Batman Eternal. The ones that we're focusing on are Batman Eternal, the new action comics, which involve Superman Doomsday, or Superman Doom, whichever one. It's the same thing. It's Doomsday. You should care. And, yeah. And if you want to, you know, find out, how do I get the links to this, Matt? Well, on our Facebook page, Those Guys, you search Those Guys on Facebook, or the URL is Those Guys on the Radio. We post every single day, you know, when we're doing our shows, and of course, we post the archive links afterwards so you can listen to it just in case you couldn't see it live.
And occasionally yeah. pictures of Batista.
Occasionally, yes. Also, I mean, we recently posted the video of Buff Bagwell doing a Canadian destroyer. Yeah, Buff Bagwell doing a Canadian destroyer. You want to see it? Don't go on YouTube. Like our page. Those guys.
And
yeah.
don't do the Canadian destroyer.
By the way, yeah,
do go watch the new X-Men film, because it was
awesome.
Definitely a blockbuster, amazing, worth your money film.
Most definitely. And yeah, so we will be signing off now. And, you know, and again, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.